But I write a lot of handwritten Christmas cards every year. And I try to make it personal and just go, thank you for supporting my business. Thank you for supporting what I'm doing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. This episode is fun because we get to talk about why it's important to value the relationship you have with your clients more than just what you actually do for your clients. We sit down with one of my old college friends, Sean Campbell with Campbell Creative, and you hear some really funny stories of things we did in college. But we also talk about what does it actually practically look like to show your clients that the relationship you have with them is the most important thing. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive in to this week's episode with Sean Campbell. Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers, the podcast designed for business owners, marketers, and entrepreneurs wanting to make an impact through the work that they do. I'm your host, Seth Silvers, and my passion is building brands that last by marketing with stories. On this podcast, we share stories with you of people who are growing their businesses the right way, and we teach you how to grow what you're doing through storytelling and authentic marketing. Let's get started. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. This week is a treat for me because I'm using my podcast as an excuse to catch up with an old friend. And it'll be fun because Sean Campbell has his hands in a lot of different things. But I think that the listeners of the show will also just get to learn a lot from how Sean is using business to just fuel the passions that he has in his heart. And so, Sean, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, man, for having me. I don't know if there's a lot I could say that I advise, but I can tell a lot of people what not to do.
Well, that's most of the journey is figuring out what not to do. So, exactly. Sean, give us some context for where you live and what you do.
Yeah. Well, I live in Bentonville, Arkansas. If you've never been to Arkansas, it's against popular belief, it's actually a thriving place.
It's true. I've been to Sean's house and we boated and there were lakes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. So it's a beautiful area. I like to call it kind of like the Colorado of the South, because we have the Ozark Mountains. They're not like real mountains, but yeah, they're kind of cool-ish.
I don't agree with that, but you can.
Sure. it's a really cool spot, and it's home of Walmart and Sam's Club and a couple other companies, and so this whole area is just thriving and growing like crazy. It's one of the top five fastest growing places in the U.S. right now, but it's also just a great area to be if you're a small business owner, because there's tons and tons of opportunities, grants, connections that are just here for the taking, that want to encourage small business ownership and fresh ideas and startups. So it's an awesome place for home and for family, and it's beautiful here. So.
And is it just you, or do you have a family?
Absolutely, I have my wife Kaylee, who, on most things, she's usually the better end of the deal. Like if you know my wife Kaylee, she's beautiful and super smart. And then also we have a 10-month-old Josiah, who is like a mini me. I feel sorry for the kid. He looks like me.
It's true.
But he's a tank of a kid, and he's awesome, man.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about Campbell Creative and kind of with your company, with the company that takes up most of your time. What is your special focus?
Yeah. So, Campbell Creative started by accident. I kind of stumbled into marketing is probably the easiest way to say it. I started out, right after college in some basic level sales jobs, got hired at a marketing firm, and then they went through huge restructuring. So then I started learning marketing, doing marketing, everything from website, development to content creation, the video stuff. And while I was there, I started getting just friends asking me for advice, just like, what do I do here? What should I do with this? And in some cases, we'd work together at the agency or whatever. And then some other ways I would just consult for free. And after I left the agency, I worked as a director of marketing and PR. And it was during that time that I really started to think, well, what if I just created a side hustle and made a little bit of Christmas money and helped my friends, you know? And so at first I just built websites for free just
to help. What was your first project that you accepted money for, and how much money did you take?
Actually, funny story. It was a trade. I built a website for one of my best friends. And he was originally like, I gave him like a range of what it was going to cost. And instead of paying me in money, he bought me a gun. Like he bought me AR that was custom and like staff. Handed it to me and was like, thank you for building a website. And I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Welcome to the South.
Exactly. Welcome to Redneck Arkansas. So
you started out just kind of doing some smaller projects. How long did it take before you realized like, wait, maybe this isn't a side hustle. Maybe this is a full hustle.
Yeah. So I just started helping friends, and then those friends turned to friends of friends, and really just people were really kind and referred me and said, hey, talk to Sean. And, you know, this guy, you know, is trustworthy and will tell you, you know, his honest opinion. And over time it started to develop. And I thought, you know, I really should stop keeping myself a secret. Like I should brand this and release it to the world. And so it was a journey, honestly, to kind of overcome fear. I didn't go to school for marketing. I didn't study, you know, like most guys did and take the marketing classes. Like I learned by, you know, hard knocks, like figuring it out and getting mentored by other people and listening to podcasts. And at one point, I think I went into Barnes & Noble for like months on end and read every book I could find just because I wanted to grow. And so after overcoming fear and just growing and learning, you know, by doing, I eventually, you know, built a website, set it free out into the world. And when that happened, I started getting just phone calls from people that were like, hey, I had no idea that you did this, or hey, you know, I love what your website has and can you help me with this? And about 6 months later, I was, you know, making not quite, but just under what I was making at my normal day job. And I was like working crazy hours in the morning and the evening over lunch break. And man, it, you know, just started taking off. And it was to a point where I was like, man, I could do this full time and jump into it. And at that point is really where I really started praying and honestly just assessing, like, could this be my full-time thing, you know?
Right.
So anyway, so hopefully that answers your question, but it's just been a journey of one step after the other, just saying yes and learning how to do it and figuring it out. And then if I can't, you know, there have been times where if I can't handle something or I'm not skilled enough to do it, because I think honestly, as a business owner, you have to be honest in some cases and go, hey, I don't think it's ethical for me to say yes to this. It's a matter of introducing someone to someone that you know that can do it or another resource. And so,
how long ago was that you started, that you did that first, pretty much how long ago did you get that gun? I guess.
Yeah. I think it's been like 3 or 4 years now.
Dude, I bet you'd have so much business if you made a website that said, I'll do websites for guns, because I bet you there are so many people that have business ideas and they have more guns than they have money.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's amazing. So you mentioned a few things that I love. One, I love that you and I kind of both stumbled into marketing. For me, I would say in high school and early college, as I was starting to tap into more of my strengths, I was surrounded by people that were in ministry or in nonprofit work. And so it was really easy to say, oh my gosh, you should be a pastor one day, or you should build an organization or something. And the people I was around weren't really saying like, oh, this would be really impactful in the business space. And so I kind of college for me was a lot of like figuring out, like, and kind of being honest of, oh, I actually really like business too. And, you know, I can make an impact and do all this stuff through business. And so I love that we've both stumbled into marketing kind of in the last, I don't even know what years it's 2000. So I guess the last 7 years or so since college, whatever it is. I took a marketing class my last year of college, my last semester, because I needed one more credit to keep my scholarship. So I literally, I like had to take another class. And so I took marketing with Rebecca Gunn. And as soon as I sat down, I was like, wait a second, this is like, this is describing how I think. And actually a couple of weeks ago, I was in Tulsa and I sat down at a lunch event, and I have not seen Rebecca Gunn since then, have not talked with her, have not told her that she is completely, that her class completely changed the course of my life. And I sit down at a lunch and I hear somebody next to me be like, "You are one of my students." I look and it's Rebecca Gunn.
That's awesome.
So it was really cool to be able to tell her that. But I love how we've both stumbled into it. The other thing you said that I liked was that you've had to be pretty honest with yourself at times. Mm-hmm. Share with me some of the moments that you've had to be the most brutally honest with, like the limitations of what you can do.
Yeah.
It's hard to be honest as a business owner. So describe some of those situations and stories for us.
Yeah. Well, so I would say like when most people hire you for a project or a job, yes, in most cases they're hiring you to do the work, like, hey, I need a website, or hey, get this thing done for me. But in a lot of cases they're actually hiring, like you would say, yes, the project's important, but in most cases I would say what's even more important is they're hiring someone they can trust. They're hiring someone that can be honest. And I think if you can't be honest with yourself, then you certainly won't ever be honest with the customer. And so I think just being super honest, that it, I feel like to get to honesty with yourself, you have to go through personal development and going and making mistakes and learning and kind of going through this self-awareness process and growth over time. And so I feel like for me, like some of those things that I can think like changed me or shifted me to be more honest, or maybe to have, or has developed me as a business owner. Like one of those things I would say is, you know, having a project go bad and having to talk to the customer and be like, hey, this didn't go as we planned. Like you spent all this money, your return wasn't as good as we hoped. And so I'm going to be honest about it. I'm going to send you a report so you can see exactly where the dollars went, what are the analytics on this thing. And I think during those moments of being honest, what's funny is my fear at times would be like, I'm going to lose business because of this, but actually in a lot of cases that actually earns me more business because the customer knows like, this guy's got my back. He's honest. He's not trying to lie and work up more business out of this.
Make it look better than it actually is or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I feel like, you know, there's tons of examples that come to mind and little things where things you may not expect happen and you just have to respond and go, okay, what do we do? What's the best thing I can do to serve the customer? And so I feel like over time that develops you into a person that's just real and raw and honest all the time. And people can smell that. They can discern whether or not you're legit and tell the truth. And I think that's so important for so many different business owners to know and learn, is just like, be real, be honest. People want to buy someone they trust before they buy a product, especially in a service-based industry like marketing. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that, I feel like that's just been lessons learned over and over again of just be honest, tell people the truth, and it'll be all right, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think most, and I'll say marketing because that's the space I'm the most familiar with, but I think most marketing companies have had moments where it's easy to overpromise.
Yep.
Because, you know, we know with new tools and new technologies, you know, you can kind of learn stuff pretty quick. And I feel like overpromising in the marketing world usually ends up in either conversations like that or sometimes you just get fired and you have to be totally honest of realizing,
like, sure,
you know what? I probably bit off a little bit more than I can chew.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think another thing I think another thing too, is just setting up the right expectations from the get go. And I feel like the best way to communicate with my clients most of the time is that I just tell them, look, we're going to start and launch, then we're going to do a lot of learning, and then we're going to make changes.
Yeah.
It's not a overnight success. It's not a, you're going to get tons of new business tomorrow. This is a process, and we repeat that over and over and over again, because marketing changes so quickly, and
right,
what's new and popular is going to be different in 6 months. And so just because you do really well here in one area doesn't mean it's going to happen in the next, you know, 6 months the same way. And mm-hmm. So I think it's giving them this expectation of going, hey, I can't predict the future, but I can guarantee I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to give you the best quality and make the best choices on behalf of your money invested in me. Mm-hmm. And try to get you the best return I can. And that helps, you know, with communication and all that. Right. So
I got the impression from your website and what you're saying that the relationship with the client is pretty important for you, and that's kind of something that you would say would you say that's like one of the really unique things about your company, is building that relationship with the client?
Totally. I would say, like, at the end of the day, that means more to me than the projects do. It's about the customer. It's about establishing trust from the get-go. And I feel like, you know, I read this book probably 6 months ago that really changed me a lot on, I'd already been doing some things I felt were right, but it really solidified some practices and some foundational business principles about being customer centric and really making it about the relationship mm-hmm. with the customer. It's a book called The Go-Giver, fantastic book. It's kind of like a modern day parable. And the whole premise of the book is serve people, be generous, and, you know, revenue, profit, that will come. Like, just right. Be relational first, be generous, over deliver as much as you can, and the money and everything else will take care of itself. And what's funny is, like, as a business owner, we go through those seasons where money can be tight, or maybe it's stressful, and we can let a project take the higher priority rather than the person or the relationship. And I feel like in times where I've let that happen, I made that mistake of putting the project or results over the relationship, it's always come back to bite me. Hmm. But the times where I've always been more about protecting the relationship, being honest, having great communication, setting the right expectations,
right,
just serving the needs of the customer every single time, that's always been more profitable for me in the long run. Because
right.
Then they refer you to somebody else, or maybe they have repeat business with you, or, hey, because you did well with this project and I can trust you, I'm going to give you this one over here. So it just, I would say, like, that's been a huge game changer.
Yeah.
And really, probably the number one most important thing about how I try to do business, just talk to people, be upfront, think in terms of a partnership with them.
That's cool. Okay. So I'm going to push a little bit, because Sean, we know each other. We've caught possums together. We've talked before this call. We have brought live animals to white elephant gift parties before. We go back. We've done a lot of things together. So I feel like I can push back a little bit. That all sounds really, really great. But what I don't want is want the podcast listeners to listen to something and be inspired and then hang up or put their phone away after listening and be like, wait a second, how do I actually do that? So, like, that all sounds really good, but it also like, it's becoming more popular. You know, like, everybody knows, okay, cool, you know, Chick-fil-A and Quick Trip and a lot of these big companies, that they have amazing customer service. So it's like people are starting to catch on that how you treat people is important. But what are some, like, really practical ways that you're actually putting the person before the project?
Yeah, great follow-up question. So a couple of things come to mind. Just first of all, on a practical sense, I don't hold anybody hostage at all. I try to have a free, no conditions relationship as much as possible. So,
and by that, you mean you don't have contracts?
I don't do contracts. Okay. Don't do long-term contracts. I don't have an opt-out. It's literally month to month with majority of my clients. I do have some clients that have asked to be on retainer, and they like the stability of going, hey, I want your commitment as my marketing guy for a year or 6 months. So I've done that, but that's always been when they've invited that. But for the most part, I just try to have a very free relationship with everybody. It's not, to me, I want the relationship to be first. And so it's not about me feeling like I have to project all this money and have you in a contract so I know this income's coming in. Rather, I take the risk and put on the, you know, I guess the hat of I'm going to assume risk and say, I can't predict you're going to be with me in a month or that you're going to be a customer. So I'm going to do the very best I can month after month to repeatedly earn your business over time. So I feel like that's one thing I do that's different. Another thing is I try to have a lot of very direct touch points with my clients often. Whether that's a coffee or a phone call or a text message or an email. I feel like if you're talking to them frequently, then they know you're like the work's getting done. You're thinking about them, you're serving them. So I feel like that's another thing. This might sound cheesy, but I write a lot of handwritten Christmas cards every year. And I try to make it personal and just go, thank you for supporting my business. Thank you for supporting what I'm doing. I also try to just be super upfront on my pricing. I keep all my pricing out in the open because I feel like if the customer knows what you're worth and you have that out front, there's no hidden fees or there's nothing like that they're going to guess about. You know, it does two things for me. One, I'll be honest, it filters out clients that can't afford me. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. Like, and I'll be honest, not every client, you know, that can afford, or I should say it this way, not every client will be able to afford me, but the right ones will, because they'll see the value and want quality work done. But also by keeping my pricing out in the open, I feel like it gives the customer a great first impression of what the relationship's going to be like. I'm a very straightforward person. I want them to know up front, this is what you're paying me for. This is, you know, this is what you can expect. And here's where, you know, where you can see, you know, possible results. And here is also what it's going to cost you to get there.
Does that keep you on your toes a little bit in a sense of, let me give some context. I've heard many people in the agency world talk about like the 12-month cycle of a client relationship and how, you know, you sign a 12-month contract. The first 3 months are like amazing because your agency team, they're trying, you know, they come out with guns blazing, they're trying to impress everybody, they're giving you their best content. And then it kind of goes down a little bit and kind of just coasts. It's like the monthly work, the recurring work, people get lazy, maybe some deadlines get missed. And then once you get to month number 9, you're like, well, shoot, we have to renew this huge contract in 3 months. So we better impress the heck out of the client so that come renegotiation time, they're super impressed by the last thing we did and they're forgetting the previous 54 things we did. Yep. I think that cycle, it happens with contracts at times. So not having contracts, has that forced you to like be more on your toes and actually force you to stay more in touch with your clients and be more relational?
Absolutely. It's a good accountability to be who I say I'm going to be is really what it comes down to. Like I can't hide behind analytics. I can't hide behind anything. It's accountability from month to month that I'm going to be exactly who I say I'm going to be. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to do my very best. And I'm not going to lie. There is some pressure involved in not having contracts. Cause you're like, I wonder if they're going to want to still be with me in a month, or if this living goes bad over here, they can leave at any time. But the reality is people, that shows a lot of loyalty to them. Mm-hmm. The fact that you're really willing not to hold them hostage and more times than not, they act like the customers that I've interacted with are just like, man, that speaks so highly that you are willing to prove your worth month after month to me. And so I don't know, for me, I feel like it just works better to serving the client and also holding me to a standard where I can say like, yeah, I'm not doing this. Just, I'm not going to coast. Like you said, I think that's a great way to describe it. I don't have a coast in my business. Mm-hmm. It's prove it or lose it. That's really the attitude every month.
That's awesome. I love that. And I think, that is like no contracts. That's something that is really, really unique. I've found that to be challenging because a lot of our focus is on helping people create content, and content is very much a long game. Like we focus more on organic brand building content than like, you know, making a video and putting $15,000 behind it so that a bunch of people see it. Like we've focused more on what's going to build your brand over time. So that's been hard for us because when we're talking with clients, it's like, hey, this is something that you might not see the results in a month, but it's something that you just got to recognize, like you're building trust over time. So I think so much of marketing is about trust over time. So I think that's awesome that you do, that you don't do contracts like that.
Yeah. One other thing I would add is like, because marketing changes so fast, like there's so many new things coming out and Facebook changes this over here and then Google does this over here. And if you have a contract, which in a contract, you're going to have terms and conditions, which say what you're going to do for what money, right? And in the marketing world, that can often be dangerous for a lot of businesses with as fast as marketing is changing. And so an advantage I would say to also not having contracts is if let's say something happens in their business, like they take on a new client for themselves, or maybe they add a new product and you're locked into this plan over here, it can be devastating to your bottom line when really you might need to go, oh, you know what? Let's put this area on pause and pour more of our monthly budget over here. That's going to have a much higher return right now. Right. And so it can be a little bit advantageous if you're sitting there and you're doing the same repetitive thing over and over and over again, which a lot of agencies do. Now, don't get me wrong. Some clients, they need the same stuff consistently. They might need content and social media and ads running constantly, which is fine. But I've noticed for a lot of more smaller to medium-sized businesses, which are majority of my clients, they really need flexibility. They need, you know, when business is great, they want to double what they're spending in a month. And so if you're in a contract, they can't do that, you know. And then there's other months where it's like business is slow and I need to scale back. And at that point I can go, okay, I'm here to serve you. I want what's best for you. And yeah, that might hurt me a little bit to have less money from you this month. At the end of the day, I'm helping them, which is my number one job. Mm-hmm. And it pays off to do that. Cause then they come back and go, thanks for being patient with me. Thanks for, you know, letting us scale back. And because of that, I trust you and I'm going to give you more opportunity this next quarter to go do it for me again, you know? So anyway, that was just another thought I had to add.
How do you, I guess, decide like what you're doing for a client in the given month? Like, are you just like, do you still write a contract, but it's just a month to month, like they're not locked in overtime? Cause there's gotta be some kind of exchange of, hey, you give me this much money and I'll give you this much of whatever.
Yeah. So depending on the client, upfront, I will give them we'll talk and have a conversation. I'll ask questions. They'll give me a better idea of what their budget, what they want to spend. And then basically every month, it's kind of a ongoing discussion between me and them of sort of, I'll give them recommendations and then they're also going to respond and tell me a little bit about what they feel like they need the most. And so we'll have a partnership conversation that goes something like that, where I'll just go, hey, I think we should do this right now, or hey, this worked really well last month. Let's not change anything. Let's stick with this. Right. And then some months it's them coming back and going, hey, I just would like to see more results here, or maybe this new thing I'm doing over here, can we do something about that? And so, you know, depending on the client, there's lots of flexibility there. And so it's just an open dialogue constantly of, listening and asking questions and getting their feedback and really measuring the return on investment to go, okay, what's the best bang for their buck?
Right.
And doing that from month to month. So it doesn't work for every client that way, but for a lot of them, that's kind of the pattern.
Totally. Cool. That's awesome. Why are you doing all this? Like, give us some insight into more long-term, like zoom out. Like, I've realized that most business owners, the business is, yes, a means to serve people, but it's kind of a means to an end. Like, you have a bigger vision that the work you're doing is supporting. So give us more insight into why.
Yeah. Great question. So when I started Campbell Creative, one of my visions was to use the skills that I had to serve the community and to serve nonprofit. I forget what this statistic is. It's probably changed since I last read it, but I want to say something crazy, like only 1 out of 4 nonprofits survive after a year. Hmm. And a lot of that has to do with poor communication, poor marketing, poor sales pitch to get fundraising.
That's better than the business statistics. Maybe more business owners should start nonprofits that have a higher statistical chance of success.
Yeah. I don't remember what it is, but I know a lot of nonprofits struggle. And it's true of business, exactly that. I mean, it's hard to get altitude and get your feet off the ground if you don't have a really good message, a really good why, a really good story. And so I wanted to help both nonprofit and business owners with that. I wanted to basically come alongside a person or a group of people, listen to their vision, and then help them dissect it and simplify it to where it's easily something they can pitch and sell to help their business grow. So kind of like what you do, just it's telling stories, it's investigating to go, okay, what is it that you love about your job? What about your business is different from other people, and then just helping them tell that story. And so when I started Campbell Creative, my vision was really like, I wanted to help small business owners that couldn't afford a larger agency to do that. So kind of come in at a place where they could afford my kind of services, mm-hmm. But also help nonprofits that couldn't afford it, period. Couldn't afford anything for any marketing or any kind of, growth type, activities. And so first thing that I started doing was just, I would volunteer services to nonprofits. And then Kaylee and I, and my wife and I, just prayed and started just really looking for opportunities to just give and be a blessing through our business. And so, so it started kind of small. We started with just giving away time and money, doing video for free or helping with a website over here. And so our vision is to use our business to be a blessing, to give back, to be supportive in our community, to support, those that can't always have the opportunity or money to support themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's cool because now I get to talk about all the cool stuff that I've been able to help support. And it's not, I want to be careful, it's not about my business. It's more like I'm excited to go get behind somebody else and give them that boost that they need to make a difference. And so some of those things we've done now in the last year, we gave away a car. We bought some office equipment for somebody that needed it. We've made donations. We support monthly through different donations. And so that's my why. It's helping people. It's helping businesses grow and helping nonprofits that are helping people that can't help themselves grow.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of my why, is just helping people. I thrive on that.
No, I think that's awesome. And I love it because, I feel like some people have more clear visions long-term, like, oh, I'm going to, grind for 20 years so that I can write $1 million check 20 years mm-hmm. or something. But then mm-hmm. I feel like other people, it's more of like, what are the little ways that I can be giving day to day through the work that we do? And so I really like that kind of micro focus on your community, and what mm-hmm. you guys are doing. Stepping back to just looking at this audience of entrepreneurs, marketers, business owners, what would some of your advice be? I know this is a dangerous question because you got a lot of good ideas in your head and you're good at learning things, but what would your advice be to people that are either business owners or see themselves being a business owner one day?
Yeah. Oh man. So many things come through my head. But I think a couple.
Let's do this. You're in a coffee shop. Somebody walks up to you and they're a business owner and you literally have like, you have a minute with them and then they're going to turn around and walk out the door and then just say, oh wow, you're a business owner. Like, what should I learn from you?
I love that. First thing I would tell them is get a mentor as fast as possible. Find somebody that you know is in the next step ahead of you or several next steps ahead of you and bribe them. Spend time with them, buy them lunch, get in a coffee, shop with them, ask questions, get a mentor. Because that'll help you with insight to what's coming next. It'll keep you humble to have somebody there that's you can bounce ideas off of, and they're gonna tell you when you're an idiot or not. And then, you know, having a mentor also gives you just this comfort that you're not alone. Like, you've got somebody that has your back and can be an encourager when you need it or a kick in the pants when you need it. So I'd say get a mentor. Second thing I'd say is develop yourself. Like, at the end of the day, you are your own brand. You might work for your own business or your own self, but it's relationships and it's who you are that will help your business grow. And so for me, a couple of different ways that I would say like developing yourself might look like is get in the gym regularly, get some sleep, do things that are like nutrition for you. I had an awesome conversation with a mutual friend of ours, Michael Reyes, not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Awesome guy, business guy. And he used this illustration of your body or your soul needs nutrition. And for some of us, it might be working out. For some of us, it might be relationships. It might be alone time if you're an introvert. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just finding what keeps you healthy and doing that regularly. Because people can sense when you're stressed and they can sense when money is a higher priority than anything else. And
so are you telling me that the health of a business owner relates to the health of the business?
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. Absolutely.
No, I say it kind of sarcastically because it like ends up coming up on almost every episode of in some way of like,
yes,
be a healthy person and things will go better. Which then creates all this weird pressure because especially if you have employees and stuff and it's like, wait, all of these people are not just on, but somewhat on you being your best self, as Joel Osteen would say.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, be as healthy as you can be, you know, take courses, find things that are going to help you grow. I'd say the last thing, so get a mentor, be healthy. And I'd say the last thing, last piece of advice I'd say is have fun. Like, if you hate what you do, people, there's no reason why anyone would want to do business with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't want to do business with me if I dreaded my job and hated what I do.
Right.
And so I think, you know, there are moments where entrepreneurship is hard. Like, you're trying to strike up new business. You're constantly stressing about maybe an employee or some sort of a pressure moment. And I think that if you are really in a healthy place, you are going to, I'm trying to find the right words to say it, but it's like, if you're not careful, you will develop bad habits and bad attitudes that will rob you of your joy when crap hits the fan. And so if you're in a healthy place, and you've developed this mindset of, you know what, I love what I do. I get to help people every single day, or I get to do this. It's not a task. It's not a job. It's a pleasure and an honor. Totally. If you see it that way, every single day, it's contagious. and your clients are going to smell that, and they're going to think, wow, that's genuine. That's real. That this person doesn't just want my money. They want to do good for me.
Right.
And I feel like that carries over into so many things. So I'd say, if you're not having fun, find a new career, yeah. Find something else, or maybe pivot and take a break. Take time to take a moment and recalibrate where you're aiming at. Maybe it's asking yourself, what is your why? I'll end with this. I know I'm rambling a little bit, but this has really helped me recently. My wife was reading a blog or something, and she was reading this article by, I forget who it's by a writer lady who my wife follows. And the lady was talking about how when she and her husband were in their 20s, they made a list of things that they would be like different, when different scenarios would come up, they were going to respond like this. It's like when grief happened, they would be this. When conflict happened, they would be this. When joy and success happened, they were going to be this. And so recently my wife and I started working on that. I wrote down a list of all those different things like grief, anger, conflict, defeat, victory. I mean, just kind of went down the list and wrote basically like, I'm going to choose to be this in this moment. I'm going to choose to respond like this. Like when someone talks bad about me, this is my only option. I'm not going to respond in, you know, anger. I'm not going to try to go get even with them. Like I'm going to be silent, or I'm going to respond in love and kindness. And so anyway, doing that, I feel like, is so important, like establishing foundational pillars of like who you are as a business, who you are as a person, who you are, you know, just your identity is so, so key. And I think we often forget those things under pressure. You know, we forget who we want to be or who we are. And so keeping a reminder of that and going over that often, I think is so, so vital, and something that I'm learning right now, just how important that is. So,
yeah, that sounds like an amazingly healthy practice to do. Last question. What have been just some resources that have been helpful for you on your journey?
Yeah. Friendship, friends like you, and just staying in contact with people that know you and can be encouraging. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, reading and getting around different voices is important. Listening to different podcasts.
Could you list some, like just some books or podcasts that have stood out for you?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Off the top of my head, there's one called Entree Leadership, which is great. It's kind of got a variety of different things on there for business owners. Another one that comes to mind is Story Brands. Of course, that's a great company with Donald Miller. He's got some good marketing things. And I'd say another one, it's actually a counseling podcast. It's really fascinating, but super healthy and has some really great resources. It's called The Place We Find Ourselves is the name of that podcast.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, really good stuff there. And then honestly, I kind of jump around. I've got one called The Art of Manliness that I'll listen to every once
Isn't
in a while.
Isn't that guy in Tulsa?
He is. Yeah. Actually, funny story. So I actually saw him.
Some guy was like, that guy's really manly. He must be the podcast guy.
Yeah. Well, I'd seen his picture all over like the internet, and I ran into him by accident at jury duty.
That's funny.
I got the little slip in the mail for jury duty, and I show up, and there's like 200 people in the bottom of this old building, and he was there. And I was like, and he wore like this, he had this awesome mustache and wore like this legit sports coat, and I was intimidated by it. I was like, this guy looks dapper as heck. And
I wish he was wearing like flowers, and like, I wish he would have been like the most feminine man ever. But
no way. But he was super, he was like, and I'm married, so I feel like I could say this, but he was like dashing. And I was like, I don't know if I have the guts to say hello to this guy. He has a national podcast. He looks like a model, and I don't know what I'm going to say. So anyway, so yes, he's in Tulsa. I saw him one time from afar and I chickened out.
Manliness man, if you're listening, Sean Campbell wants to say hello.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
So anyway, those are some good resources, man. Cool. You know, just find friendship, find good books.
I read
like 4 or 5 books at once and sprinkle around and jump around and get podcasts. So
cool. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. How can people stay in touch with you?
Website, campbellcreativeco.com. They can reach me by email or they can call you, Seth, and then get a hold of me. You can be my secretary. I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm going to cut that part out of the, no, just kidding.
No, just through my website is great.
Yeah. So. Head to campbellcreative.co. It's .co, right?
Correct.
Okay, yep. Good.
Campbellcreative.co.
I'm not the only company with a .co.
Yeah. I have multiple domains. So great. Type it in, you'll eventually find me. So.
Awesome. Yeah. Go and check out his website. And if you guys need any of the services that he does, I encourage you to get in touch with Sean. And thank you so much for taking time out of your day to chat and just share some of your journey and what you guys are going through.
Dude, thank you for having me. I love you. I would say anyone out there, hire Seth. It's the bomb. He's awesome. He brings animals to white elephant parties. What more do you need?
It's true. I'll mention this story before we go, but we did have a white elephant party in college, and about a month before that party, I had found a bird outside, and it was like frozen or something. The bird wasn't flying away. We felt really bad, and so we caught the bird. It was a mourning dove, and we turned my closet into a bird cage. And saying we nursed it back to health is a little bit of an overstatement, but we like got it bird food and water and stuff, and we kept this bird. And
yes,
a month later, it was in my room for a month.
Our whole floor was basically a petting zoo in college.
Yeah,
it was so like geese, squirrels.
Yeah, it was great. I had this bird. Christmas time is coming up. I don't know what to do with it because I don't know if I can let it outside because it was hurt before and I'm not going to take it home with me. So I don't know what to do with it. Can't leave it in the dorm over Christmas break. And so we had a white elephant Christmas gift party that night and I needed a gift. And so I was like, man, this is the perfect opportunity to just give this to someone else. And so we went and bought
it. So great.
I don't even think we bought a bird cage. I think that we just put it in like a shoebox. I think we like put it in a box. It was bigger than a shoebox, if anybody from PETA is listening. But we put it in a box and wrapped it, and we did put air holes in it. And it was the hot item of the night. And I like for years to come got asked about that. And one kid, it got stolen several times, and the kid at the end, it was Kai Good, Kai Vincent Turley Good. Best name I know ever. Kai yes. Vincent Turley Good was excited, and
he took
the bird and he took it home to Maine, and he took care of the bird. So the bird survived. I think I'm sure it's still alive. But anyway, so if you are wondering,
amazing.
If you're wondering what to get somebody for Christmas, then just go outside and catch a bird and give them that. That's great.
It's awesome. Great advice.
Thank you. And we'll bring this episode to a close, and we will see you all next week on the Small Business Storytellers.
This podcast was produced by Story On Media and Marketing, and our passion is helping small businesses use stories to grow their business. And we create a community that helps you do just that. So if you don't have the budget to hire a big agency, but you really want to learn how to navigate online marketing, how to tell better stories, and really how to build a brand that lasts, then our program, Success with Stories Elite, is for you. Every single week, we give you new trainings, content ideas, and content blueprints to make marketing with stories easy. To join our community, head over to www.successwithstories.com/elite or just click on the link in our show notes. Again, that's successwithstories.com/elite. Have an awesome day and let us know what you loved about this episode by leaving a review on iTunes or your favorite podcasting platform. Thank you so much. My name is Seth Silvers, and I will see you next time.